What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So much going on today on our show and in the world of sports. The NFL owners have approved the terms of this new CBA. Now the players have to do that. And this could get very interesting when it comes to an extra playoff team in each conference. An extra game in a few years that could be adopted, 17 regular season games.
This has got to be a really detailed proposal as well. Like, I feel like we've only been given just a few of the details. Like, this has got to be a deep and long discussion for the players.
And some players are divided still, so we'll talk about that with Big Cat. We've got Cubs and Sox stuff to get after. I know one of his peers over at Barstool not happy with some of our Hawks discussion, and the Bulls and their changes. Let's get into our conversation with Barstool. Big Cat, he's brought to you by Manscaped, men's luxury grooming tools. Twin Peaks Eats Drinks Scenic Views in Brew House Legend Snack Nut Mixes.
Barstool Big Cat. Host of Pardon My Take. And voluminous tweeter at Barstool Big Cat. It's time for his weekly conversation with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
You gonna sing happy birthday to Waddle today?
It's Tom Waddle's birthday?
Oh, come
every
on.
Day
the
is
world
Tom Waddle's
knows
birthday.
This.
Big
come
cat.
On.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. What? 49?
29.
29.
Yeah.
29. Good. Happy
don't
birthday.
Don't play the game with him. He's, you know, he's the guy that likes to embarrass people for no good reason.
No.
Yeah. No,
I've
he
never
is. Sylvie is. Not you. Sylvie.
Oh, Sylvie.
Yeah, okay. I'm not talking okay. about you. But thank you.
All right. Yeah. So, happy birthday. Thanks. 49. What are you doing for your birthday? What do you do for your birthday
working.
When you're 49?
I came in to see my bestest friends in the whole world here at ESPN 1000. So I chose to do was to work. What do you do on your birthday?
I'm usually Super Bowl week. So
Ooh, you know,
birthdays, I don't know if you guys agree, but like 21, obviously a big birthday.
Yeah.
25, okay, you can rent a car. After that,
yeah.
what is it, 50 maybe?
50
is a big one?
Yeah, it is because like now you can see, you know, the dirt nap is like right around the corner.
Yeah, it's really depressing.
But like now 53, it's like, it's okay. It's, you know what, it's a Thursday. That's what it is.
But you made it another trip around the sun,
right? I did. I mean, listen, I feel great that I'm still here. Got a good family. Got a lot of great friends. You guys and, you know.
A lot of great friends and you guys.
Yes, you know. So, I mean, I feel blessed, Big Cat.
Where would I rank if we did, like, top Tom Waddle friends? What would I be coming in at? Like, 120, 130? Where would I be ranked?
I don't have a lot of friends.
Yeah, I bet you would be in the top 100.
Oh, no doubt.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Maybe top 50.
Could be.
Okay.
I keep
a really
tight circle of friends.
There it is.
Yeah.
I was texting with you guys last night. I was in East Chicago.
Yeah.
At one of the Penn National gaming casinos.
Did the under come in?
The under came in.
All
a
right.
listener came up to me. He's like, hey, Big Cat, are you Big Cat? And I said, yeah. He's like, I love you on Waddle and Sylvie. And then he asked, everyone always asks me for a tip, so I always have a tip ready to go, and I gave him a tip, and it won, so that guy owes me money. I'm going to track him down.
I love it. Yeah, that's awesome. Barstool Big Cat joining us on the Corona Hotline. That's what Waddle said when he walked in. Here's the way it went, and this is the way he's turned into. He walked in, we all shouted happy birthday, and he goes, what are we gambling on today, guys?
Yes.
Listen, I have limited time left on Earth. I need to get a play down every day before the show starts.
Yes, and make sure you do it legally because I saw some news today.
Yeah.
Casey Urlacher. Yeah.
What That's happened tough. With that?
Well, it says here's the headline. Brian Urlacher's brother named in federal gambling indictment. The first line of the story
is the mayor of
Casey Urlacher, who is also the mayor of.
Is it Mettawa?
I've heard it called more frequently as Mettawa. Is
Little Vegas
is part of a ring that allegedly included 1,000 gamblers.
Wow,
dang, that's a lot. That's
you know,
a lot,
that so. Is the thing is I mean, in today's environment, there's a lot of legalized gambling. So
right,
I would
and
just
this is
my
why
public,
it has to happen.
Yeah, this is my public service announcement is to do it legally.
Well, and not only that, but everyone bets. That's not a, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that's been in the shadows for so long, and states are finally, you know, getting with it and seeing, hey, we could probably make a lot of money off this because everyone bets. Everyone loves to bet. March Madness is coming up.
Right.
You can do it in Indiana. You can do it in Illinois hopefully soon.
So what do you think of the possible changes with the NFL?
I like the idea of six, you know, games on wild card weekend. I don't know if you guys saw, but did you see the sliding doors moment that if this had happened, we would never be saying the words Mark Trestman, Chicago Bears head coach?
Well, because Lovey's teams would have been in.
Right.
Lovey's 10-6 Bears team, when he got fired, would have been in, and he would have been the third Bears coach all time to make the playoffs three consecutive years. So that would have been a moment that he would not have been fired after being in the playoffs. And I'm all in on this. I actually think my perfect NFL schedule is a 17-game season, 19 weeks, so you give them two byes.
Right.
We get it stretched out so that the playoffs start somewhere around mid-January, run all the way to President's Day. Then you have the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday off. And you've also bridged the gap where we only have 3 weeks until March Madness. You can have that week between conference championship and Super Bowl will be the NBA All-Star weekend, so you keep that.
You're just trying to organize your own personal schedule.
Which is good.
I have the best schedule. Now, here's the wrinkle that I want your guys take. We need to have two byes, and when you say two byes, people will say, well, that will, you know, make the league watered down because then you have weeks where you have the best teams missing games and the schedule gets all wonky. Here's what they need to do. Football loves the perception of football being family. They love good PR because God knows they've had some bad PR recently. We make the closest game to Christmas is a bye for the entire league, and we have bowl games to fill in for that. So you have a bye for the entire league. Closest to Christmas, you give everyone off Christmas week. You give everyone who works the games, everyone who's working the cameras. You let everyone else who's sitting at home maybe pay attention to their families for a minute. And then you start back up the next week and you finish it off with like three or four more weeks. And then, boom, you're into the playoffs.
You let the NBA have their little day, you know, where they introduce everybody. And you're up.
And you don't have to do the... You're right, and you don't have to do the conversation that happens to pretty much everyone in America on, like, the Saturday before Christmas when it's like, hey, honey, have you gone out and gotten the presents? Like, well, I got to watch this Ravens-Bengals game, even though no one cares.
I got you a 10-team parlay card. That's what I got you for Christmas.
Right. Casey Urlacher's doing limited use this weekend.
Stop it.
So, listen, that ain't happening. This is what we need to do, though. That is the perfect schedule. I've just given it to you. And here's the other plus. Ready?
Yeah.
They need to have it set up. So if it's 17-week season, obviously it's going to be an odd game because obviously the season works out perfectly now. You play another division. We need to have guaranteed cross-conference rivals every single year. You telling me that the Bears playing the Colts wouldn't be a highly attended, highly juiced-up game 3 hours apart? Like, you have these everywhere. The Steelers play the Eagles. You know, the Chargers play the Rams. You have the Redskins and the Ravens. There's all these teams, all these games out there that you can make a guaranteed cross-conference rivalry that you can play every single year.
Yeah, I sort of like it. What about the year like you are supposed to play the Colts?
Play them twice.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. And you build up because there are these... these geographic rivalries that just aren't tapped into. You know what I mean? Detroit should play Cleveland. Nashville, the Titans could play the Falcons. Those guys.
Bears-Browns could be good,
map,
too, though.
They're three hours away.
I think the Bears-Browns could be our rival. I mean, if you're going to... I think there are a couple possibilities.
You're just trying to pad the Bears' schedule, and I like that. I like what you're doing.
All right, now
but yeah, there's a bunch of fun, like... little setups there that we could tap into. You know, 49ers play the Raiders. Obviously, the Raiders are going to be in Vegas, but I think this would make the league a lot more fun when you have that extra rival that's more of a geographic rival that you should play every year.
Let me give you more perfect in this, my world, if that's a word, perfectness.
I'll buy it.
So I'm with you. 19 weeks to play 17 games. You start the season with two preseason games, not three, not four. You play two preseason games. You can have a scrimmage during the year, preseason, fine, but only two. That way, all home teams are only, you're only playing one home preseason game, and season ticket holders, you can pay extra for the regular season, whatever. That's fine. Then, with the second bye, you want to do your Christmas thing. What I want to do is what Mike Tirico asked us a few years ago. I want to ensure that Thursday night football is never played, or for the most part, played with teams that are always coming off the bye.
Okay.
So that way, okay, you're never playing on four straight days, you know, like on only 3 days rest.
Okay, that's fine, but don't take away Thursday night football.
No, I'm saying
that Thursday night football.
So the teams who play on Thursdays did not play the previous weekend.
I get it.
Because they had a bye.
I just have one question for both of you. What would this pitiful sport do that has 19 of the highest rated 20 programs every year do without you guys tweaking it? I know football is dying, so you guys need to adjust it to make sure that everyone is having more fun
with it.
Well,
they're adjusting it. We're just making it better.
Yeah, I don't...
Yeah.
Yeah, you want... So I know, I was just looking. I saw Duck Hodges was 9 of 25 for 95 yards in the Pittsburgh Steelers finale, which led them to an 8-8 record this year, which would have gotten them into the postseason this year.
If Duck Hodges wasn't playing, that means that Mason Rudolph wouldn't have played, and then we never would have had the Myles Garrett situation,
well,
which was... One of the juicier stories of the year.
Well, you keep your juice. I don't want that story.
Right, Big Cat?
I don't want that story.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me flip it the other way because you're doing the glass half empty. How about the fact that the Steelers had one of the best defenses in the entire NFL?
I got two words for you, Big Cat. Duck.
Hold on.
Hodges.
You get to watch that defense try to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Come on.
Good.
I'm talking about...
Do that again.
I'm talking about three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. Wild card weekend now becomes the best weekend of the year. Give it to me. It's the middle of January.
Oh,
no
I'll
one
give
wants
it to you.
To be.
Why not?
It's winter.
Why not eight teams?
Come
why
on.
Not four in each conference? Why not four wild card games?
Sure. I don't care.
This is like, it's so funny because he loves to argue with you, but like an hour ago when Harbaugh's on the phone, and Harbaugh's like, I like it. Waddle's like, okay.
No, I didn't say okay. Listen, you want to get in an argument with Jim Harbaugh?
No,
or do you want to move on to the next topic and try to get out of the situation as quick as possible?
That was a big thrill.
Yeah, see?
Did he remember your name this time?
He did, yes.
Okay, good.
It's always good. It is always so kind of odd radio.
You think?
And it's so much fun because I watch Waddle squirm.
The best Harbaugh story I have is we went out to his golf tournament in August in Ann Arbor. So we interviewed him, and it was a scramble. And we're playing, and Tony Scheffler is a friend of ours who used to play for the Lions and the Broncos, played with us, PFT, Hank, and myself. And we were all I think Hank was wearing jeans. We do a scramble. So it's best ball. We come back into the clubhouse, and Harbaugh looks at us. He's like, so how'd you guys shoot? What was your score? And we're like, we were plus one. And he's like, no, but like not personally, like what was your team score? Because it's best ball. We're like, yeah, plus one. I think the winning score was like minus 20. He's never been more disgusted with four people when we were like, yeah, we shot over par with best ball.
Yeah. Hang in there because we've got, I think there's someone who, one of your peers is upset at us for something, and it has to do with the Blackhawks. We also want to talk to you about the All-Star game we haven't talked to since then, and of course, Cubs and Sox. More Barstool Big Cat next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I guess a Barstool chief is going to call us, Big Cat, because we were simply asking about Jonathan Toews and how you fix the Blackhawks, and if you fire Bowman, and then what do you do if you're going to start going in a different direction? And Waddle and I are just like, hey, do you do it? And we were trying to figure out
he
ways.
He wants a piece of us.
Now he wants to ban us.
Yeah.
Well, you guys made the list. Yeah,
well,
I mean, Chief knows more about hockey and the Blackhawks than, you know, pretty much anyone in the city. So you guys made the list. And if he says you made the list, you made the list.
All is right, it good to make the list, though? I mean, is it sort of like a badge of honor?
No. It's bad. It means that when the Blackhawks get good again, you guys are on the outside looking in.
That could be a while.
Well, oh,
you're willing to risk
classic
it.
List the guy list talk. Again. I'm at it again.
That classic list guy.
Oh man, what's for dinner?
What would you do? What would you do right now? The Hawks aren't good. They're not going to make the playoffs. It's how many straight years without making the postseason? How many straight years without winning a series? What would you do?
I mean, honestly, you'd probably start, instead of trying to trade your best player or best play, one of your two best players, I would probably try to maybe fix the front office and start scratch there and go in a new direction there and try to get some energy into the whole, you know, franchise. I just always, I mean, the Cubs are going to deal with this too right now with the Chris Bryant stuff. Like, when you trade your best guy, what are you doing? What are you saying to your fan base? What are you, if there's not a firm plan, like, okay, we trade this guy and we will take step two and three and then be back on top. I don't think that happens very often.
Okay, well,
show me how many teams can do that.
That's all very fair. I asked this question earlier, and I don't know the answer. So Chief can come at me for the third time, so put me on the list. If Scotty Bowman is still valued by John McDonough in the Blackhawks front office, and his opinion is still very valuable, what is the likelihood that what you just suggested, Big Cat, which is to change the front office, how is that going to happen? Like, if the front office, if John and Scotty Bowman are still kind of, you know, on the same page, nobody's firing Stan, are they?
Yeah, no, you're right. But that's also, you know, guys get comfortable, and maybe it's bigger than that. Maybe it's a whole club. I mean, it correlates perfectly to the Bulls when they have Gar Forman, who's going to be a scout now, and they're just shuffling the deck, you know, the chairs on the deck of the Titanic.
Yeah, but he's not the son of a historically successful basketball titan.
And he doesn't have any trophies either.
Right.
Of course. But I think when it comes to sports and front offices, and you see it all the time, guys, like, you know, if they feel comfortable with their job and they feel like, hey, you know, we can rest on our laurels here, things get complacent and out-of-the-box thinking and trying to make moves to maneuver not just what's happening today, but what's happening in 2 or 3 years, that you can lose sight of it. And it's obviously a lot harder of a job than I could ever do. So I'm not saying that I know the answers to these questions. I just know if you keep flunking the test, what are we doing here?
No, I'm with you. But if changing the person making decisions in the front office isn't likely, then what are your options? So now what can Stan do to shuffle the deck to make this team not a team that misses the postseason for a fourth consecutive year?
Right, so I guess my counterpoint to that would be, so if you're going to say, let's trade Jonathan Toews, right?
Just open to it. That's all I'm saying, Chief.
Yeah, right. I get that. So just open to that. What you're saying, yeah, you guys are on the list, but it's okay. So if the guy who's been making decisions has gotten you to this place, why are you trusting him to trade your best player and then get you out of this place? Because what
right.
often
it's
happens
true.
In sports
I'm not
is
saying
that
I trust him.
No, what often happens in sports is you will trade your best player, and then they will then make a change, and you're like, why did we do that?
Right,
so
right.
It just feels like there's no foresight, there's no vision here, and I don't know, it's frustrating. It's a frustrating time
yes.
for a lot of Chicago teams
oh,
when you really
yeah.
put it, you know, when you really look at the landscape right now. I mean, I don't know if you've, and we're hopping around to every single team here, Sylvie, I don't know if you've had like the come to Jesus moment. But I had it a couple days ago when I was like, I think maybe the Cubs just aren't going to be that good this year.
Ooh,
and
really?
Not, like, they're not going to be bad. You know what I mean? They're not going to win only like 70 games. But I had that moment where I was like, wait, so we really didn't do much? And you got a kind of aging pitching staff that you don't really know what's going on? And where are these guys going to fit? Like, so maybe they're an 85-win team. I don't know.
But the division is good top to bottom, but they're like not one team is great. Don't you like, isn't, we had this discussion yesterday, Big Cat. Still, when, so you had this come to Jesus moment where you're saying to yourself, your goal this year isn't to win the division. You don't think that's a feasible goal?
No, I think it's a feasible goal. The come to Jesus moment was more like, I'm not going to go into this season expecting to win the division.
Well, now
because
you're on
I
the
know
list.
That the Cubs,
yeah, you just made the Cubs list. You made the Cubs list. Yeah. Don't you dare show your face on the north side.
I'm not. I'm being honest because what I don't want to do is go into this season and be like, because it feels like the Cubs are going into this season doing the old, like, well, if like 10 things go right, we'll be really good. But 10 things have to go right.
My favorite thing this week has been that last week it was, hey, let's trade Arenado and get Arenado for Bryant. And then this week it's like, hey, let's make Bryant our leadoff hitter.
Right.
You know,
right.
What's going on?
It all makes no real sense. And I think that Theo probably sees this as a reset year, but you're still good. So I've had that moment where it's just more like, all right, so if they're going to think of this as a reset year because they didn't really improve the team in the offseason, I'm gonna go in with those expectations and not have my hopes up that the Cubs are going to be one of the best teams in the NL. Well, maybe they'll surprise me. They still have all the talent in the world.
Let me ask you both a question, though. So what if Bryant is still on the trade block? Why wouldn't you still bat him first?
You know, it's a good point.
You know,
I know
what I mean?
That.
Like,
I know.
I'm not going to stop trying to win baseball games and do what's best for the 25 guys and everybody else
until
in the organization
he's traded. Right.
And I'm not going to worry about disrupting the lineup if I trade Chris Bryant. Oh, my God, I'm going to have to put somebody else batting first. I mean, like, you got just as good a chance as anybody in that division outside of the Pirates. Nobody's running away in the Central.
I just know that I'm going to be frustrated with the same things I was frustrated with last year. Maybe David Ross is like the perfect mix that he's going to jump in there and he's going to be worth a magical five games because everyone loves each other more. I don't know. Maybe that could happen.
All we've heard is Chris Bryant said that he'd run through a wall. John Lester told us yesterday that, you know, the vibe with David Ross is good. All you've
They're
heard
supposed
is,
to say that, though.
I got I'm just telling you, like, they're setting the expectation level by some of the optimistic statements they're making that maybe David Ross is the answer to all of their questions, Cub fans.
And it very well could be, because if you look at the Cubs the last couple of years, I think that even the Cubs will admit it, that there have been times where they haven't had the same focus, they haven't had the same fun, and they've lost games that they should have won and kind of squandered opportunities in the middle of the season when it gets long. And so maybe he is the change. Maybe, I mean, that he is the reason why you hired David Ross is for that exact reason, hoping that he is the change for the clubhouse, because I don't think anyone no one's hiring David Ross being like his baseball mind is off the charts. I'm sure he's very smart. I'm sure he'll be good, but you're not hiring him on his credentials as an unbelievable manager because he hasn't been one. You're hiring him because you want the guys to buy in more than they have bought in the last couple of years.
Right, change the culture.
Tuck in that uniform. Pick up that blood.
Respect
90.
Put
your hand on right.
Yeah, let's go back to respecting 90. That would be good. And by the way, David Ross tomorrow is going to be on Golic and Wingo right here at 8:30 on ESPN 1000. Before we let you go, All-Star game thoughts, your time here in town, what was it like?
It was fun. It was great to be back in Chicago. We had a great event at Joe's on Weed that was awesome. I don't know what happened on Sunday night. I don't know if you guys hopped on Twitter, but somehow, some way, Fire Guard Pax was trending.
Yes.
So that's a shame. I feel bad about that one. I don't know if I had something to do with it. But yeah, that was a shame to see. You know, those guys are good guys, are great at their job. Never want to see something like that trending.
How often, how many times have you done something that resulted in something trending on Twitter? I bet
never to that effect.
That's what I was gonna say.
Where I was very, very specifically. I think, hold on, I'm pulling it up. I said, with the All-Star game at the United Center tonight, it would be a real shame if Fire Guard Pax started trending tonight. A real shame. Please don't retweet this because then it might get Fire Guard Pax trending. It had 6,000 retweets. So people, that's a lesson you got to learn. These millennials, they don't listen.
No. Don't. That's the lesson. That's a lesson.
It was great. I mean, the Bulls fans are so frustrated. They would, and I thought they had the best showing of any person within the Bulls is the fan base, don't you? From First Take to...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. The goal of All-Star Weekend, I think it was a success for Bulls fans. We had to make them feel uncomfortable because you can't have an All-Star game in the city of Chicago that has a proud basketball tradition with zero All-Stars and no hope like going forward and no change, you know, in the near future, and expect fans to sit there and clap and be like, oh, this is great. We got the All-Star game in Chicago. So I'm happy that everyone did that. And, you know, they're not going to change anything. I mean, I do think there was probably a little bit of embarrassment for Michael Reinsdorf, and that's kind of what you're hoping for, is that he should be embarrassed that this is a big, huge weekend in the NBA, and the Bulls have zero representation, and the fans are completely at rock bottom when it comes to their enthusiasm for your franchise.
I still believe empty seats is a bigger impetus for change.
That's the biggest one,
than
right.
Change.
No.
Well, they're both important. They got to work hand in hand.
Yeah,
okay. My bad.
Yeah, just use a hashtag. Yeah. Hashtags will always get guys fired.
Really quick.
That's how it works.
Before we let you go, were you disappointed at all with Michael not being there for the live ceremony on Sunday?
No, I kind of expected it. I actually went to the MJ party on Friday night.
Ooh,
and he walked in. It was it wasn't very exclusive, so it was a pretty big party.
Did you chest bump him?
Well, no, he walked in, and everyone kind of stopped and looked over, saw him walk through, and then that was the last everyone saw him for the night, because he went to his VIP area and was so far out of view of anyone.
Right.
So, but that was the one moment. Everyone was like, oh, there he is. Oh, there he goes.
It's so great. You're the best, Big Cat.
Thanks, Big Cat.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You're on the Cubs list. You made the list.
Yeah, you're right.
You made the list.
There he goes. And then now Chief is on hold, Barstool Chief. And I guess we're on the list now after he heard that. So we'll see if we can. Do we want to be on the list or do we not want to be on the list?
I don't think you have any choice. Oh, you're on the list.
We're either on it or not.
I don't think you have any choice. You can like it, hate it, whatever. You're on the list.
All right. We'll debate this. And then later this hour, too, I want to play what Brian Windhorst said today about the Bulls and the way they can retool the front office. It's all coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Here's Panarin with one over while Fox got tripped up and let a shot go that didn't have much on it. And then Panarin scores! What a shot! And it is 5-2.
Another bad showing yesterday. I mean, all these games, they were all so meaningful. You got to get two points. And they failed to do that on the Western Canadian trip.
How about an 0-for on the power play again?
Again.
I believe it was 0-for-3.
Again,
was it
0-for-3? And then last night against the Rangers, that was Doc Emmerich's awesome to listen to, and it was on NBC Sports.
Channel 174, well,
you're
my
right.
Cable.
Mine too. Absolutely. All right, so one of Barstool Big Cat's friends is Barstool Chief. He's a huge Hawks guy. Huge. And someone alerted him. Then this is the way things work these days, too, because I got in trouble with Dom like 2 years ago about some of my Cubs takes. And then I was on the list with Dom for a little bit. But now Dom and I are good.
Is that an honor to be on the
list?
I don't
think
it is.
No,
you don't want to be on the list.
Because they come after you then, you know, and you know how when
you've got a family and you don't need people coming after you. Yeah.
I don't want pitchforks at my door.
No, you don't want the shame that comes along with the list.
So we were asking questions. We were playing the just asking game when how the hell do the Hawks get better? So we sat at a Hawks Blues game in the playoffs several years ago. I believe that was in 16.
We did?
Yes. It was you, me, and
Wilbon. Yeah.
And they lost that game and they ended up losing the series in 7. All right. That was the most competitive they've been now over the last 5 years, because the year after that, they were the number one seed, but they lost to Nashville and they got swept. And then the year after that, no playoffs. The year after that, no playoffs. This year, no playoffs.
So wouldn't you think anything to try to make the team?
So we're like, okay, what do you do now?
Is on the table?
Do you do the unthinkable and trade one of your greats, but it could restock things to get back to being a Stanley Cup team quicker? We're playing that asking game. The next thing I know, someone's tweeting Chief, and Barstool Chief is thinking about putting us on a list.
And now you made the list.
And I told him, call in. Instead of just tweeting me angry stuff, call our show. We're here for everybody. What's up, Chief?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. And I want to make it clear, the list is not about pitchforks. It's not about harassing. It's just when the Hawks are back, you guys are not allowed to enjoy it, and it's on an honor system. So you just know you can watch it, but you just can't enjoy it. You just have to be like, oh, here they go. They're winning, and but don't have any fun with it. That's the list.
Chief, when will I be faced with that dilemma?
I don't think we're that far away, and I think the quickest way back is with the core that they have. You know, I hear all this talk about, like, trade Jonathan Toews, trade Patrick Kane, maybe Duncan Keith. Well, and then what? Okay? What, are you going to be in the lottery again? Well, guess what? They're there anyways. So not only are you in the lottery, but you have to replace two players who are, at this time, worth every penny. Patrick Kane is probably a value play at this point at $10.5 million. So you're going to have to replace that production, and even if you clear the cap space and get all these draft picks, you know, who are you going to give that money to? Taylor Hall? Does that make you better? No. So it's like you're going to be bad. If you're already bad, you're better off trying to have a better roster around those guys. Like we said, they're going to be in the lottery again for the third straight year. Hopefully, you would pray that some of these guys start coming in and are able to contribute, whether it's, you know, Doc at a higher level next year, or Ian Mitchell, or maybe Boquist turns into that guy as like a legit top four guy. But right now, it's just they have too many AHL caliber players on the team. It's not Toews and Kane, and if you get rid of them, all you're doing is creating a huge hole that you have to replace. So don't tear things down that aren't broken.
Barstool Chief calling in, and the one thing I would ask you, though, is it's not just who they would sign to get with that extra cap room, but what if they could get, like, Yurko always says, Chief, 1 year early than 1 year late. What if Toews goes down another year now, and now you've thought you're building around the core, but now he's not a core piece because he's had so many minutes on that body, and he plays both ends, as we know. So what if you can get something for him that could replenish your team and you have the extra cap room?
It's to me, it's kind of like a pie in the sky thing. Like, if you're going to get something to replace him, first of all, nobody's given up Nathan McKinnon, Connor McDavid, a type of guy who is like a legitimate replacement under the age of 23. So you're going to have to hope that you get the number one pick or a top three pick again. And then also hope that you're bad at the right time, because just because you have the number one pick doesn't mean Patrick Kane's there. Like, you guys know the lottery game. You guys know, you know, from basketball and hockey, like, you have to be bad and lucky in order to turn around. And to me, it's just like, that's too big of a risk. I'd rather, you know, spend the next 3 years trying to win with these guys, and hopefully DeBrinket, Strom, Doc, Boquist, they can elevate their game so they can, you know, surround those guys where it looks more like the old days where you had all-stars besides just those top two or three guys on the team.
All right, Chiefs, what is your level of confidence in Stan Bowman to be able to do this and do it in a period of time that doesn't jeopardize Kane and Toews being too old or being diminished in skill?
I mean, it sounds dramatic, but at this point, it's zero. I mean, it's been 5 years now of, you know, kind of wasted summers and self-inflicted wounds, whether it's giving up on players too early, you know, going for it when they probably shouldn't. And, you know, I had a blog earlier today that I didn't hate the idea of trading Panarin that summer, but to trade him for a worse player at the same cap value, it's just like, this makes no sense. And that was really the first domino that took it from bad to worse. And they haven't been able to really recover from that summer right after the Nashville series. They won the West that year. Like, they had the best record in the West, and that team was obviously flawed. But it's not, you know, they didn't do enough to keep the thing going the way it should have been, and it was really self-inflicted wounds and kind of panic moves after 2017. So they had some assets and things to play with to try to do a quick turnaround, and they botched that situation.
All right, so here's the most important question. What if they fire Bowman and some new hotshot general manager who is awesome comes in and he trades Toews? And then the next thing you know, the Hawks are back in the Stanley Cup final because of this. Are you then on the list?
Yeah,
and are you not
list.
Allowed back?
I've never thought of a self-ban. Like, yeah. Anything's on the table. Look, I just want the Hawks to be great. You know, I'm kind of loyal to the sweater. I can't envision a scenario where trading Toews or trading Kane leads more quickly to them being back on top. Like, I just can't wrap my brain around that. Just, it doesn't seem plausible. I'm really hopeful that Doc can become like that real number two center behind Toews. And maybe as Toews descends a little bit, Doc, you know, becomes the one. you know, I don't know if we've seen enough to really put him in that category yet, but he's a promising young player, and I think that that is part of the formula here. So one more lottery pick, you know, maybe clear some cap space in another way, and really the next 3 years is your window, and then they're going to be bad again, and I'm okay with that. But I feel like you have these once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity here with Taves and Kane still in their prime. I'm not willing to just punt on that to see you know what's behind door number two. Hopefully it's better. It
All
won't
right.
be.
Okay, so this is my final question then. I don't know if you know this, but it's my birthday. I'm 53.
Happy birthday.
I don't have many days left on this universe, okay? So on this planet, if in fact the team miraculously turns it around next year and the parade route is underway and you see me on the parade route celebrating with all the other Hawks fans, what type of physical harm could I be in jeopardy of being exposed to?
You know what? I'm not a great grudge guy, so the list is kind of, it's a fickle list. If you say, hey, I was wrong and I'm sorry, I'll probably give you a kiss on the forehead and welcome you back in with open arms.
Well, you could consider that apology on its way.
I got All right. a sweaty forehead, though. I don't think you want any part of my forehead. See, but that's
you can have a kiss too. Kisses. If the Hawks are winning the cup, everybody gets a kiss.
Yeah, you're gonna get a tongue kiss.
That's the thing. We're playing the just asking game. You think we've got the hockey solutions?
I don't know. No one has solutions in this town, me included. So I didn't know it was the asking game. People on the internet, I reacted to that. So maybe I'll apologize for that because I am a big apology guy. But people were saying that you guys were advocating for shipping them out of town.
Chief, good stuff, though.
Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, and a good phone line, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
very good phone,
guy.
Yeah, good phone
We're coming to you live from the Barstool Chicago office in the Ukrainian village.
All right.
Very nice. My old neck of the woods. Say it a White Sox day for me, all right?
I will do.
And Carl, there you go. There's a Barstool Chief. Yeah, it was a good
that was civil.
Look,
that was civil.
But it's I don't know what the answer is. People were calling with their opinion that I don't know what the right thing to do is. Just like I don't, as a Cubs fan, I don't know what the right thing to do is with Chris Bryant either.
All I could say to you is after 3 years of not getting to where you want to go, everything is on the table.
Yes.
That's the way I would talk about the Bears that way, the Cubs, the White Sox, any team in town.
Yes. Brian Windhorst says the problem with the Bulls is not their management. It goes higher, and it has to do with a wallet. We'll play that next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Oh! It is hot. At least the conversation, not outside. In one of those cold days with the wind whipping up.
12 degrees.
Yeah, it was cold this morning and with a wind chill, too. It's supposed to be better over the weekend into the 40s, Waddle. We've got what's at stake cooking, too, and it's hot at GT Prime. Super hot, super as in cool. 707 North Wells Street. For more info, visit gtprimerestaurant.com from the Boca Restaurant Group. If you've not tried GT Prime,
loved it there.
What the heck are you waiting for? Head to GT Prime today. Make a reservation. We've got this little game on Thursdays that the guys, Kevin and Rob, like to do over at GT Prime with us. It's called What's at Stake. We need you to tweet us, hashtag it What's at Stake, steak like the food, STEAK, and tell us which side you would like tonight, Bulls or the Hornets.
I like when you do that.
The Bulls or the Hornets. So
I'm chasing
the Hornets
a loss.
Stink too.
I don't care. I'm chasing a lost soccer bet tonight. So Hornets minus 4.5.
So the Bulls are at home. No, the Hornets are getting points. Is this right?
What?
Is this right, Abdallah?
The
Bulls are the favorite, right?
What are we
waiting
for?
Yeah.
Bulls are the favorite
at home.
Have
you guys seen the Hornets play basketball?
They stink, I know, and the Bulls have beaten them a few times.
Have you seen their basketball?
So the Bulls are a 4.5-point favorite. Do you want the Bulls giving 4.5, or do you want the Hornets and the points at the United Center tonight? Tweet us. Tell us which team you want. Hashtag it, what's at stake. And most importantly, tweet us a picture of something you're willing to put up in a bet. We'll give you a gift card to GT Prime if you win. If you lose, we get what you're willing to put up at stake. Get the concept? It's a bobblehead, a baseball card, an old movie, something you got that you're, it's not going to kill you if you get rid of. Someone offered us, what'd they offer us? A Michael Jordan White Sox jersey?
We lost that one, though.
We lost, but he was willing to put it
up. I would have taken that.
That was the one that we picked. So send us something right now. Make sure you get to your Twitter. We have to decide quickly. Hashtag it, what's at stake? And again, check out GT Prime Restaurant, 707 North Wells Street. And again, to make a reservation, go to GTPrimeRestaurant.com. So you want this from Windhorst? It was really good. Is this number one? Is that the one I'm looking for, Mel, or the one you and I edited?
Sorry, hold on. I think it's number three, but it's the first one on your page, right?
No, the first one on my page, I mean, yes, Windhorst 3. Okay. So, yes, Windhorst 3. This is him talking about, you know, they asked about Presti, and he didn't think he'd believe it when he'd see it. He wouldn't think that Presti, the way he signed and...
Well, he's got a... Wendy was saying his contract was a 10-year contract at one point.
Right, right. And he says one of the problems with the Bulls is that they haven't used all the money that they could. And he'll explain that here. And whether you want to... And yes, you should blame Gar. You should blame Pax. But a lot of these problems go higher than them. And it's with ownership. And Windhorst explains why ownership has been flawed for the Bulls with the pocketbooks.
The Bulls produce enormous volumes of income. But when you're a general manager, you want to be able to know, I can go make this trade that puts us into the luxury tax. I can go make this trade over here where we take on money, where we take advantage. That's what you want. If you have a general manager who has options, you want to have an owner who gives you every tool in the toolbox. But if you're going to come to Chicago and you're going to say, well, this is a big city and winning here means more and everything like that, and it comes with the pressure of running a team in a big city, you want to know that the tens and tens of millions that get generated in profit, not just in revenue, the Bulls make hundreds of millions of revenue, but the tens and tens of millions get generated in profit leads you to be able to do some things other teams can't, to give you advantages. That has never been the way the Bulls have operated, not in the recent past. And again, you know, they have not been able to be a free agent destination. They've had several bites at the apple, and they've never been able to execute it. And so, basically the Bulls earn like a heavyweight and punch like a middleweight. I don't mean to insult them, but that's just the reality of the situation. And if you're a GM at the tippity top of your field, that's not the type of situation you're typically going to be attracted to. Now, if you don't have a job, that's a different story. But if you're in a job, the Thunder have spent way more in luxury tax than the Bulls in recent years. This is the way the Bulls have operated in the past. I can't predict how they would operate in the future, but what you're talking about would be a significant change of not just leadership, but operation of the team.
So his point to all that is, could they land someone that established to come here with those parameters?
Do you have the bite where he talks about where they ranked in terms of revenue and where they ranked in terms of what they spent? In terms of
which
their front
one would
office?
That be, Meller? Do we have that one?
I remember
because they
what
were
he said.
They were 27th.
Third in revenue in terms of money taken in and 27th in the money they spent on their front office and their scouting department and all the other things.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. Jerry Reinsdorf runs the White Sox like they're a smaller market team. But they draw like a smaller market. They don't They don't make the income that the Cubs make. The Bulls make the income the Cubs make. The Bulls are like the Cubs of the NBA. They're the top two or three. They're like Yankees, Red Sox, Cubs, you know? Dodgers in there, too.
There's
so the
discrepancy.
Bulls are third or fourth like the Cubs are.
Right.
But they still spend like the White Sox.
Correct. That's what he said. He said he got a look. He wasn't going to reveal his sources if you heard him on with Cap today. But he got a look at the NBA books, and they showed him, and I'm paraphrasing now, that they are third. They were third in revenue in the time span that the books that he saw covered, and they were 27th in what they spent, I believe, on basketball operations.
This is what I've been saying. Like, when of the 3 years that they've rebuilt, you see all these other teams who get a first-round pick for taking on a big salaried player.
Yeah.
And the Bulls aren't at the cap, and so they could have easily said, instead of signing a Thaddeus Young to try and make us a little bit better, we'll take a bad contract as long as we take a first-round pick back or some sort of an asset. They don't get creative when it comes to that, and it's one of the reasons why they are where they are.
Look, there's a lot of blame to go around. And selecting the players they select and the decisions they make, the front office deserves a lot of that blame. But I find it hard to believe that John Paxson or even Gar Forman wanted to sell a second round pick to the right. Somebody.
Right. I know that. You're right about that. Your notion is right.
So again, there's
my point was, isn't that when you've worked in the organization for 17 years and you stand up and you're saying, guys, I know you don't want to sell it. I know this. I know you want to make your investors happy. I've been playing for you, and now I've been in your management team for years. You've got to trust me. The optics are stupid, and this is no way to start a rebuild. And isn't that where you put your foot down? Or is that why Jerry is the ultimate loyalist when it comes to
you can put your foot down, but ultimately you don't have final say. The owner does. Do you want to then resign?
No, but you want to do things the right way.
Of course you do.
So that's some of the things the Bulls are dealing with. I thought it was a really telling soundbite from Brian Windhorst today. Will make Bulls fans not too happy. Michael Wilbon was very happy. He had a great time in his hometown over the All-Star weekend. So much to get to with Wilbon in 2 minutes.